Hi, it's Lucy and welcome back to another episode of The Real Girls Club, my podcast where I interview women working in the film industry. In today's episode, I'm joined by Yevgenia Alexandrova. Yevgenia is a cinematographer and alumni of the famous film school in Paris, La Fémis. Her cinematography work features in the upcoming film The Balconettes, directed by Noémie Merlant, which will be premiering at the Cannes Film Festival this month. In this episode, we talk all about her experience switching career paths after studying business, working on set with Noémie Merlant, and her advice for future cinematographers and much more. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy today's episode.
Hi,
Hello.
Lucy.
Hi, Yevgenia. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Thank you so much for agreeing to be on my podcast. So where are you currently based?
So I'm based in Paris right now. Well, for the last 15 years, I've been based in Paris.
15 years. Okay. So yeah, not just based there for the moment, but yeah, for a pretty long time. So that's your home.
Yeah, I recently became a French citizen. So
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I know how long a process that is to do. So you're currently based in Paris. I guess you'll be heading to Cannes pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm going for a couple of days for the festival because, you know, we're having a premiere of Noémie Merlant's film there.
Of course, so exciting. I wasn't sure if you'd be going, but yeah, of course, they want to have like the main, you know, members of the team there and everything. So that'll be really exciting.
Yeah, there will be pretty a lot of us, of the team members.
So yeah, I'd love to get started by asking you what initially inspired you to pursue a career in cinematography and like, what does your background look like, your education and your work experience to get where you are today?
Well, it's a very kind of long way. It was a very long way for me because, so I was born and grew up until my 21 in Russia, and I studied business. So I arrived to France for my master in business. And then at some point, like I worked for a year, maybe after getting my master degree. And then I was like completely uninspired about the job I was doing. I couldn't imagine being that type of work, being the sense of my life. The very spirit of it. So I was pretty young for Europe. I was 22 when I finished all my degrees.
Yeah, that's pretty young. Especially you've done a master's as well. By the time you were 22, you'd already done that. Because I only got my first degree about, you know, that age. So yeah.
But it's simply due to the difference of the education system. Nothing special about that.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, so I was pretty young and I was actually looking around and thinking that in this like more open European society that a woman doesn't have to, you know, get married, get pregnant, start a family at 22, you know. Well, in Russia, when I was growing up, it was the case. Like my mom, she had me at 24. But now the things are changing, both for Russian women as well. But I suddenly realized that I could do something else out of my life. And there was this passion for cinema that I had ever since my high school. But I never kind of considered it to be something real, something that I could try to make my profession. Because I was kind of afraid. I had no knowledge whatsoever of how the industry worked, and I had no access to it at all. So I had nobody to ask about it. And then I was also doing some photography by the time. And yeah, suddenly I just realized I have time to try something else. And I applied for the cinema school, which is called La Fémis. It's based in Paris.
Oh, yeah. Very famous film school.
Yeah, and I didn't get in the first time. So I tried it the year after and I got in and I was pretty happy. But they were asking me a question, why don't I try the production department? But I was pretty sure I wanted to do cinematography because after starting business, I really wanted like, to have a tool that I could manipulate with my hands and see the results of it, you know, something practical and applicable.
Yeah, like, tangible, like something you could see and make. Yeah,
exactly. And I was really passionate about like capturing the moments. So the photography I was making was more like a documentary photography. I was really into capturing a moment or just observing life, you know. So photography made sense for me. And ever since I never regretted. Yeah, never.
Can you tell me a little bit more about like the application process for La Fémis? Because as I view it as something that's like a very prestigious film school, what kind of things did you have to do? I mean, like to apply, because if you've come from a business background, I mean, how did you prove your passion and your skills for cinema having come from a background of business? I mean, I guess maybe you showed some of your photography or...
Well, entering exams in La Fémis, it's a very long process which lasts for about 5 months, you know, a year during the year. So first you start like, I think like in January every year, they publish three words on their website. You have to pick one word and start with this word, like make this research or slash artistic thingy. I don't
Project,
know.
yeah.
Yeah, but like project, like a 50 pages maybe written essay with and it has to be, it's very tricky because it's not very precise what you have to do. It has to be personal, but it has to show that you investigated the subject, that you had a special point of view on the topic, maybe with some illustrations or interviews. You have to create something. So you
Okay.
prepare this, then yeah, you have to like write like your biography and motivate cover letter explaining why you want to do cinema. And then you come to this first session. I think also I brought like my albums with the photos I made. But then you come to this session where like there's a thousands of you, pre-students entering, and they show you a scene from a film, and you have to analyze it. You have like 2 hours to write your analysis of the scene. Then there is like a 2 month break, and then there is the second tour where if you're in cinematography, you get again three words. You have to pick one. And at the time when I was entering the school, the exam was with a film, so I had to make photos with on the topic, and then we have to send our film and pick like five prints out of those that you made.
Okay.
And you come in with this, and you pass an exam on your common knowledge and cinematography knowledge. So basically, there are 20 questions, to which either you know answers or you just. Sometimes they're very precise. For example, what was the name of a Mexican cinematographer who worked with this French director in the 60s? Or sometimes they were much larger about some cultural movements.
Sounds like a very long, rigorous process, but then I kind of would expect that, I suppose, from a prestigious film school. They wouldn't just let in people super easily. But you've obviously got the stamina to go through all of that, and well done for getting through all of that.
It was actually fun to do all of that and
Yeah.
prepare exams.
Yes, yeah, it's a
And
fun creative challenge.
exactly.
But you went through it twice.
Yeah, but the first time I got out in the first round.
Okay, so you didn't have to go through everything all over
Yeah,
again. Yeah, okay.
exactly.
That's great. So
And
you tried again and you thought, I'm not going to let this first, I guess, rejection or whatever get me down. I'll try again.
yeah, I didn't have much choice because I thought that if I want to change my profession, I need to go to get the top, you know. Suddenly,
Yeah.
I felt like I don't have the time to spend years without getting successful.
So how many years would that be now that you would officially call yourself a cinematographer since coming out of FEMIS? How many years were you at FEMIS for?
So it's a 4-year program,
Okay.
and I graduated in 2016. And I did a little bit of camera assistant, but not that much. I started being a cinematographer straight away, but you know, like unpaid projects and short movies and. You know, in France, we have this system of intermittence when you worked for, when you validated a certain number of working hours per year, then you get this status of calling like intermittent. And it
Ah,
took me.
yes, I know what you mean. Intermittent du spectacle. It's like
Exactly.
it's like where you sort of work on different contracts, I guess. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but you have to have an enough amount of those to confirm the status. On short movies, it's super complicated because, like, you work like, I don't know, 2 months on a short movie, and then you get declared like only for 4 days of shooting, you know, something like that. So it took me 2 years to get this status, but I'm not sure if I'm calling myself cinematographer even now. I don't know. I feel so good about my job, and I'm so impressed that I'm getting paid for doing what I
Yeah.
like.
So it sounds to me like all that hard work to get there paid off, and you're like, it's sort of everything you hoped it to be.
Kind of, well, I also discovered this unglamorous side of my job. You know, where you have
What's
to
that
work
like?
super long hours under the rain, under the snow. You don't have a lot of sleep. You have to carry a lot of heavy stuff. You have to sacrifice your ego in so many ways. Yeah, it was a hard internship, I guess.
I mean, it is quite a traditionally male-dominated field, cinematography, because it's all very technical and it's often assumed that that's a male thing to do. What do you think your are your unique perspectives you bring to your work? as a cinematographer or camera assistant or director of photography, what you prefer you to call yourself?
Well, I guess any person can have an eye on the light, you know, and catch, like, be attentive to some special moments when actors are in front of you. So I'm not sure it's like we have really different perspectives. It's just about the personal sensibilities of for light, for the framing, for what moment to capture. And I guess, like, yeah, it's much easier today to get into the industry for female DOPs. I guess because the tools got a little bit more accessible to everyone. I mean, like, the cameras, they're much lighter, and like, for example, I can't imagine today, like, a director not hiring me for a job because he or she tells me the camera is too heavy for you. You know, it's not like an
Right,
argument to
no,
go through
of course
today.
not.
Absolutely not. But it could, way back when the cinema started, you know.
Yeah, it might have been like that then. So how would you describe a typical day on set for you?
Well, actually, on set, you're supposed to be already very much prepared when you arrive on set. I think the biggest game changer happens in when you're preparing the movie. But on set, yeah, you have to. I'm just super concentrated when I'm on set. I know exactly what needs to be shot this day, and how do we need to shoot it. But because I know technically how we need to do it, I'm staying open to whatever can come. You know, I'm ready to embrace if there is something, if there is a change, for example, in acting or medic, or like the weather is different or something. I know how to react because I've already thought through how the scene needs to look like. Usually, yeah, we light the scene, and then I'm always staying behind the camera. In France, there is no separation between the DOP and the camera operator, and I'm very happy about that because I really like being standing behind the camera. And yeah, we do the blocking with director. If for example, director is rehearsing with actors, I just like watching and seeing how it is different to what we have imagined in the preparation time, and then trying to suggest or adjust our shot list to the scene. And then I worked with my department separately, with lights, with grip, and with camera department. We just try to make it in, make all the shots shot.
So that's what it's like on set. So you're saying there's much more involved in the preparation. So what does the preparation look like? Is that very close with the director? Are you on location? Like, yeah, I'm assuming it's a lot of on location, seeing how am I going to light this place and what are the best ways to light it, whether it's natural lighting or artificial. What does the pre-production part look like?
Well, it all starts with a discussion with the director on what type of atmosphere we want to put in the movie, what kind of lights, what kind of technical challenges we have, because any script can be shot in so many different ways, right? You have to understand the desire, the artistic desire of the director, and to find your sensibility being useful and apply it to his or artistic vision, so his or her. So we discuss that, and then we just go, yeah, we visit the locations and we try to imagine a scene happening there. And I have sometimes suggestions, like there is a window over there, and I can suggest that the scene happens next to this window or other way around. So we try to, like, really visualize the scene happening there. Then we do our shot list, imagine how the scene happens. And then I'll have to talk with my team, like discussing the gear we will need to do all of that, discussing like what we can afford with our budget as well, because there is this to take in consideration as well. And then I just continue my working through of thinking of all the installations that I will do, but also what to pay attention to on the set. For example, like this or that actor or actress, they have this certain skin tone. So how will I work this on set? So I have to think through all of those details.
Mm-hmm. And go through the whole script, basically, analyzing all the different locations and scenes, and even maybe like what kind of emotion the director wants to convey, like, so the lighting might change that as well.
Exactly.
I'm sure that your 4-year course, La Famille, really well equipped you for being on set and what it was like to work on films, because I'm sure you had lots of like internships, and I mean, I'm sure there were sort of a theory side to your lessons, but also a lot of practical over those 4 years. And then you must have gone into sort of short films before, because now you mostly work on feature films now.
Yeah, but by this time I mostly work on feature films. But yeah, in school we had a lot of practical exercises. In La Famille, they don't have a permanent teaching group. They invite working cinematographers to do the master classes. So it was super helpful to learn from their experience How do they work on set? How did they go through? How did they see the light? And it's not like, you know, like one way of approaching this job. Like cinematographers have their own visions of their profession. So it was super, super rich.
Were there any moments where you felt a bit out of your depth, and like how did you overcome, the challenges maybe that you might have faced over those sort of initial stages?
Well, to tell you the truth, I had a very huge imposter syndrome when I arrived to La Fémis, because there were also people who like knew they wanted to be cinematographers or work in cinema industry since they were kids, and some of them did like a technical prep before, or they did like a cinematography faculty or something. And I arrived from a business school, and I had this really like I lacked some basics compared to them. So that was very challenging. I felt like a really like yeah, I had this imposter syndrome, but with learning curve, I guess it became better. And you just have to, yeah, you just have to believe, I guess, that, well, first, if you're in this school, it means like somebody believed in you. So it
Exactly.
means like,
You
have
deserve the
something.
place.
Exactly. You deserve the place. Yeah. You didn't steal it from somebody.
For me, I feel personally quite intimidated by a lot of like technical side of things, like all the buttons and the words and these numbers and things like that. I mean, was that quite easy to grasp at first, or did that take a bit of, getting used to?
I can't tell you that even today I'm a geek for all of those technical gadgets. I don't know. I use my common sense, I guess. I just understanding how it works, and then you can apply it from one camera to another, and just like, yeah, it's fine. You don't have to like know everything about what material the matrix of the camera is made of. I mean, some people like knowing about that, but I apply my sensibility to other parts of my job.
So you're mentioning working with Naomi Merlant earlier, and you've worked with her twice now on her first film called, and I might pronounce this wrong, Mi Ibulita, mon amour, or Ibuita?
Miyubita, mon amour.
Mi Ubita, mon amour.
Yeah.
Both films that are or have the first one premiered at Cannes, and this next one called The Balconettes will be premiering at Cannes as well. Can you tell me how the collaboration with her came about?
So Noemi contacted me, like she sent me an email back in, I think, May 2019. And I happened to be just in front of my computer when I received the mail. So she was really inspired to do her first feature, but it was like really on a whim, because she met this person called Jimmy, who's in the movie, who inspired her, and she wrote the script in 1 month, and they decided to make the movie without no production company involved, so with no budget at all. And the adventure was to go to Jimmy's family's country house in Romania. We spent there 14 days, and we filmed the feature film in 14 days with no team whatsoever. So there was, from technical department, there was only me and Armand, who did the sound, and four actresses, and that's it.
Wow, a very like intimate team and
Exactly,
situation.
yeah, very much. So we had to like really, we worked day and night. Like there was nothing official about how we were doing this movie. We were really like, we had like, I don't know, 8 to 9 scenes to shoot per day. So we were waking up shooting, sometimes shooting through night all night long as well. So yeah, it was a very creative, very tiring, and
Intense,
very
but fun.
super intense, super fun. But you know, yeah, so I had to use my brain like for 120%, because I wasn't doing only my job. I was also doing the job of camera assistant. I was focus pulling. I had like two projectors to light the some scenes. So I was very much trying to see the natural lights there, even through nights, like trying to use what I had.
I'm going to show my lack in film knowledge here too, but can you describe focus pulling? What was that? Sorry.
Sorry, focus pulling is when you put the character in focus, you know? So you
Ah,
have to,
okay.
not
Makes sense.
automatic, you have to choose which part of your image is blurry, which one is focused.
Okay.
Yeah.
Focus pulling. Noted. Okay. Because Noemi is primarily an actress, so this was her first film acting and directing it. And this next film, The Balconette, is the same situation. She is also acting and directing it, so that's really exciting. What would you say it is about Naomi's presence on screen that inspires you as a cinematographer?
She's basically a genius. Because she's not only like a very charismatic actress, she also has this unique understanding of the techniques of the cinema. She knows, she understands the lights, she understands the camera position when she's in front of the camera. Like, she really knows how to put herself. Like, sometimes in her first movie, she's directing she's giving instructions to other actors while acting. So she knows how to turn away her head for her lips not to be seen, but still staying in her character, but like telling others what they have to do now. It was super impressive to see. And she kind of did it this time as well for this last movie, even though like it was a completely different situation, because like we were produced, there were so many people on set. But she, like, it comes from her understanding as an actress, understanding of what the shooting is, the shooting process is. But she very much applied it into her directing style.
Yeah, I've heard it from like, I've heard, I can't think of an example right now off the top of my head, but actors or actresses that have become directors because they do understand what it's like to be on set so well because they've literally grew up on it on a set. And I'm assuming, I mean, she sounds like she's been an actor since very, very young then, if she's so like, she knows it so well. Was
Well, and I know that it took her a long time to get where she is now. Like, for a long time, she just couldn't get through. It's a very hard, industry.
Yes. Yeah,
And
definitely.
she managed it, and I'm very happy for her, because like she's very unique in the way she acts as well and directs. I mean, I was very impressed when I first filmed her with how much her face changes with when I change a lens from a long one to a short one. Like, we don't even recognize her. It's like completely, she's like a chameleon, changing everything. And it's super
Amazing.
interesting. Oh,
And
yeah.
definitely very fun for a cinematographer to work with, actors that are so talented. I keep knocking my mic with my hand.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So the film The Balconettes, I had a quick read about it. Obviously there's not too much information about it because it's still not actually even been premiered yet. But from what I read about it, it's about a group of girls living in an apartment in Marseille during a heat wave and something that goes on with their neighbour. Could you tell me a bit more about your collaboration on this particular project and any memorable moments from the filming process? Were you in Marseille for it as well?
Yeah, we were in Marseille in the most hottest period
Oh,
in
so it was
summer.
literally a heat wave. You weren't pretending it was a heat wave.
Literally, yeah,
Literally in a heat
we were
wave.
dying. We were dying, so you can
Method
feel
acting.
exactly. So we started preparing this movie a long time before shooting. Well, at least talking about it, because Noémie wanted to have everything in it. She had so many cinema references, starting from Pedro Almodóvar to Korean movies to Orange Mechanics. So she had like so many ideas. She wanted this to be like a big mixture, a black comedy with some burlesque stylish costumes. She wanted it all, and she wanted a lot of cinematography techniques to be involved. So yeah, we started talking very early on, and then we had to adjust all of our desires to the reality of the project. Like, shooting on the balcony, it's not an easy thing,
Yeah, it's a small
especially
space.
the small space, yeah. And especially when you don't have like overwhelming budget, you have to adjust your desires. But we were very creative about it. I think we sorted it out pretty well. Yeah, and we were discussing every step with set production and costumes and makeup. We did try with our cameras and lenses. We tried the makeup. We picked our lenses. We picked our makeup, our clothes. It was a very inspiring and artistic project.
Sounds really good. I'm excited to see it when it comes out. I mean, the way you described it there with Pedro Almodóvar and Clockwork Orange, is that what you mean by Orange
Yeah,
Mechanic? Yeah. So I'm trying to
exactly.
work out what kind of genre is it? Is it like sort of psychological or is it on the funny side or no, black comedy you said?
Black comedy, yeah. That's
Okay.
how she describes it, black
Okay.
comedy.
So there is a funny side to it. It's not like
Absolutely, yeah.
too scary or something.
Parts of it are scary, parts of it are dramatic, parts of it are super funny. I mean, I guess everybody will find something that they
Yes,
can be
I do
into
enjoy a
too.
film when it's got like a lot going on though, it's interesting. So how would you
Me
say
too.
you approach the sort of visual storytelling process when working on a film? I think we've gone over that a little bit, but I'd like to know a bit more. I mean, you said you work quite closely costume then and makeup as and maybe production design as well, you're working very closely with.
Exactly, yeah, we do, because image is what you see, on the screen, and you see costumes, makeup, and production set. So we do discuss it all together with director as well involved, obviously. And yeah, I always have my word to say in when we have those meetings in with other creative departments.
Are there any specific techniques or styles that you particularly enjoy experimenting with when you're working with your camera or your lighting? Have you got a unique, you know, style or thing that you use? Or because I noticed by looking at me, Ibuita, one more, hopefully I've said it right this time. Obviously, haven't seen The Balconette, so I can't say, but your style does look very soft and light and quite feminine and romantic. That's from what I see from it. Maybe you have a different way of describing it.
Actually, it's funny you say this because I really don't like to consider that I have like one particular style. I would really love to be like a very versatile as a cinematographer, because that's what I like about cinema, discovering different stories and different atmosphere, different universes, you know. So, and I like discovering about myself what I can suggest in those particular cases. But I would describe, when we talk about colors and the images that I like, mostly I like actually some like a very contrasty style and like juicy and present colors, I guess. I like image with character, I would say. And yeah, that's something we developed as well with my colorist, Vincent Amor, with whom I've been working for many years on many, many movies. Yeah, I think I'm always searching for something new to propose, I guess. I don't really like to do something that was already seen, even though it's in fashion. Like, you know, there is a fashion in images. Sometimes, like, certain images are good for 2010 and certain images are better for 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I just always try to discover something new. And while if we're talking about the shooting process, I really like this kind of, what gives me the most pleasure on set is not when everything is under control, but when it is not. And when like something magical happens in acting performance and how like everything is just in the right place in the right time. And I think it's more like a documentary approach, I guess. I just like being one body with my camera and being there to capture some of those magic happening.
Yeah, being very present and like, you know, open to those spontaneous or improvised moments, maybe. That, yeah. You know, they're not necessarily planned. What would you say are like the key skills? Maybe let's say three or something, so you don't have too many to choose from, but key skills of a cinematographer to ensure, like, you know, a collaborative and creative environment on set.
First thing that comes to my mind is attention. What you mentioned, you have to be present on set. You have to see what's going on. And when something is not going the way you planned, you just have to be reactive, not to stay like, you know, super like having your tunnel vision of how these things have to be.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to others, it's super important. I'm not sure what third would be.
Just two is fine. Yeah. So attention and good listening skills. So, I mean, technology is always advancing. How do you sort of incorporate these new tools and techniques into your work while still maintaining sort of like a balance with traditional methods? Or are you very much working with, I guess, everything is digital now? Or do you sometimes use analog film cameras?
I actually never had to use analog film cameras in my cinematographer career, because there is never a budget for that, or there are some other priorities. You have less time for shooting because you have to, like, you have a special economy with the film. You have to, like, I keep in touch with, like, rental houses and ask them about what new do they have. Can I come and check it out? Can I do my tests? Also, what I do, I talk to my colorists and we, like, explore new cameras. For example, Balconets, I shot it with new Alexa 35. It was the first time. And while we were color grading the movie, like, we explored its possibilities and where it can lead us. Also watching films, I guess, you learn a lot about that, about what new techniques exist there. I love doing that.
So you are a bit of a camera nerd, in a way.
Yeah.
A little bit. I was actually going to ask you, do you have any favorite films or cinematographers that have influenced your own style and your approach to filmmaking?
This is funny because I have two female cinematographers who inspired me very much. And I can't even say if it is for their work or for how they present themselves, but I really enjoy these two brave women. It's Charlotte Bruce Christensen.
Yes, I've heard of her.
I actually met her once when I was entering La Fémis, and they showed us The Hunt, the film that she signed the image for. And she was there actually present with her kid or kids, I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
She was such a strong figure, like really open for a contact and like She did the beautiful cinematography, and she also had her baby over there. And I was like, wow, this is a very inspiring woman to me. And then there is a second one whose name is Reed Morano, cinematographer and director. And I think she's such a badass professional. She's so good. She also did directing, and she just doesn't have frontiers, you know, this tunnel vision of I'm a cinematographer or I'm a director or I'm a mother. Yeah, I get really inspired by her work, and her cinematography is actually very dark and very uncommon.
How would you say you sort of stay inspired when you're not on set and you're not working?
Well, that's a good part of my job, that there are very intense periods, but there are also those moments when I have time for myself. And so what I do, I really like Pilates. I do it practically whenever I can. It keeps my body in shape and I don't know,
For all
cleans
the
my brain.
heavy cameras.
Exactly, but also it cleans my brain from all of this overthinking. I also studied psychoanalysis. It was like a well, it's another degree that I haven't written my diploma thesis yet, but I've been studying for 2 years because I really like that as well.
Very interesting.
So yeah, and I'm doing all of this because I believe that to tell the stories in cinema, one needs to nurture him or herself outside of the cinema world. Otherwise, you just get, I don't know, it's you turn in this round when you're not telling anything new or you don't see anything new. So I really believe we need to look outside in the real life world
That's
into
a
this.
very good piece of advice. Definitely, you want to have a life that exists outside of your work as well, and in order to bring more to your work. What kind of films are you watching, or are there any you've watched recently that have really inspired you, by men or women?
Yeah, I try to go into cinema pretty often. Well, in Paris we're super lucky because there are a lot of small independent cinemas which play movies that you won't see anywhere else. Recently I saw a very interesting documentary called Needs Island, and it's a documentary that was shot inside of a video game. So the directors, they spent more than 900 hours in this video game, and it's a survivalist video game. So there are people who have been playing for over 10 years. And this film I highly recommend because it tells a lot about human individual and group psychology. It's very interesting. Something about human nature that is super interesting to see.
What are your future projects now that Balconets will be premiering very soon?
Yeah, actually I'm preparing this movie, which I will be shooting in Brazil. It's called The Secret Agent of Kleber Mendonça Filho, the Brazilian director. And yeah, I'm actually leaving on by the end of May. I will be in Brazil for the whole summer. We will be
Wow.
shooting. Yeah, and how would I describe the project? It's a thriller, I guess. Yeah, social thriller. The project, I think they will announce it in Cannes. Yeah,
Okay.
it's a great project because it's the retro film. Yeah, happening in the 70s, and there are a lot of locations and a lot of characters and a lot of technical challenges, a lot of things I have never done before. So it's a huge challenge for me. But I don't know, I'm feeling pretty good about it because we have a great team, and really what we were saying, that we need to work close with set designers and costumes and all of that. And I think we have really, really great locations, and we have to make the best of it.
Is this quite a rare occasion to go so far and travel for work, or are you quite used to leaving home and having to go to all sorts of different cities and countries for your work?
Well, I guess today I'm kind of used to do it because I already shot a film in Brazil before, which was called Heartless, directed by Nara Normandie and Tiau, two Brazilian directors. Also, the Noemi's first movie was shot in Romania. And then I had, in Cannes last year, I had this documentary which was shot in Tunisia. I guess I'm pretty used to travel around for my work.
It sounds quite exciting though, but I can imagine quite intense, a lot of moving around. What do you personally hope, well, I guess let's go based on the Balconets as an example. What do you hope audience will take away from your work as a cinematographer in terms of the stories that you want to visually bring to life?
Well, I hope that the audience will get two things out of any movie that I'm doing. First, it's emotions, that they will feel something about the story told and the way it's told, and that it will inspire some thinking, analysis, some special process of.
Yeah, that they come out of the cinema and they've not just forgotten it in 5 minutes kind of thing. I think those are the
Yeah.
best kind of films, you when you come out and you're like, wow, that was a whole experience, you know, and it really plays on your mind. In Cannes, you'll be going to the premiere. Is there anything else you'll be attending?
I hope I'll get to some masterclasses, but there was also a lot of networking to do, you know, when you're in Cannes, because you get to meet a lot of people and everybody's there. But mostly I hope to see movies.
Yes, of course. That's the most fun part, definitely. Yeah, are there any films in particular that you're looking forward to seeing?
There is a new Andrea Arnold's movie that
Yes.
I would love to see, as well as Sean Baker. I'm also looking forward to. Well, there's a huge list of films I would love to do.
And finally, I'd like to ask you what your final advice would be to aspiring female cinematographers like yourself who are wanting to break into the industry.
Well, there is something that I've learned from my personal experience that I'm telling myself all the time, is that you have to trust your gut. It's only your feeling, your intuition. It's unique. Like skills, they can be learned by everyone. I don't know, learning about cameras, holding a camera, it can be learned, but your unique gut feeling and the intuition is what you have, you know, what is most precious.
Very good advice, following your gut. I use this quite a lot in my personal life as well, that your gut
Really?
knows, it always knows. It's like your, is it called instinct as well? It's like your instinct, your just that feeling that when something's right or wrong, or when you know when it's right, and just to trust it more and realize that it's telling you something for a reason. Well, that was a really, really interesting conversation. Thank you so much. And
thank you so much for reaching out. I was really pleased to
I'm so
to
happy
talk
you
to you.
Said yes. But thank you. And I can't wait to see the balconettes and have a great time in Cannes. Have a lovely day.
A good day, Lucy.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to today's episode of The Real Girls Club with Yevgenia Alexandrova. I really enjoyed this chat with her, and I just really admire Yevgenia's determination and confidence to switch career path and become a cinematographer. I also really loved her advice and authenticity. I'd be super grateful if you could subscribe and review this podcast, and if you want to be updated about future episodes, then just head to @RealGirlsClub on Instagram. That's the end of season 2. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll be back in July with a brand new episode. But there might be a little surprise bonus episode this month, so keep your eyes peeled.